is Jared of the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Steve Spurrier once beat Vanderbilt when he was at South Carolina, and he started his press conference the exact same way that I felt about last night's game. Spurrier goes in there, "Well, I did not like that one bit, and I did not like the Jets' 5-1 thrashing of the Predators last night. I did not like that one bit. I have a lot of blame to go around for last night's game and what I believe is a legitimate problem they have with the Winnipeg Jets. Would you like to know where I'm passing out some of the blame, or would you like to know where I go with none of the blame?"
I don't know. Whatever.
You speak for the people.
I have no clue. I didn't even understand your question.
Okay, so I have a blame pie. You know, like a pie chart? Okay. Like the percentage of blame, although I don't have the actual percentage. I just have, you know, blame here, blame there, blame here. But then I have someone who I have not included in the chart, and I am not blaming at all. So do you want that person, or do you want the people I'm blaming?
Who got the most blame?
Dan Hamhuis. He was on the ice. He was on the ice for 4 goals Winnipeg scored last night.
Let me say this. This is just me, but if we're relying on him to beat Winnipeg, we're probably in trouble.
I'm not relying on him to beat Winnipeg. I'm relying on him when he's out there to not give up goals to the fourth line of the Jets. That I feel like if I can't get my third pair defense, how much money is Dan Hamhuis making? If I can't get my third pair defenseman to keep the fourth line of the Jets off the board, I got a real problem. Because regardless of how little we care about the third pair, they actually do have to play in these games. So even if you get to the second round against Winnipeg, Brian Little's going to be out there, and Brandon Tanev's going to be out there, and they're all going to be out there, and so is Dan Hamhuis, and he was terrible last night. Fiala gets a lot of the blame. Craig Smith gets a lot of the blame. The coach, I think, certainly deserves some of the blame last night. Just the lack of energy we felt like that they had out there. The power play is a disaster, so that is an issue in and of itself. Get some blame. PK gets a little blame. You know, really a lot of people played. I mean, the goals, the forward pairings that gave up the goals, your first line gave up 2 goals. Your second line gave up 2 goals. So make of that what you want. Well, Dan Hamhuis is only making 1.25, so it's not like he's really breaking the bank. But still, I mean, be better. But the guy who's not getting any blame, I don't blame Pekka for last night. Now, I think he should have gotten his skate to the post and kept that first goal out, but it wasn't a whole lot Pekka could do last night. They were right in front of him on, I mean, every time they went down there, they just camped out in your zone and right in front of his net, and there is nothing he can do in that regard. And Laviolette was even talking about the traffic in front of the net after the game. This is what Peter said last night when he was talking about all the traffic that Pekka had to face that was in front of the Winnipeg net. And so they just had a lot of pressure and so on and so forth. So I'm not blaming him. When you watch last night, do you put any blame on his shoulders?
I can't. You know what? In my opinion, you got to break down each one of those goals and look at it. But I mean, he certainly, I thought he played what really, really well at times. I mean, I don't think there was any doubt but that he was being harassed, if you will. I mean, he didn't have a lot of clear views, and so I'm sure that affected his play. But he gets that, you know, a lot.
Well, gave him a lot of blame last year in the playoffs. Now, I really didn't blame him for game one in which he got pulled, and I blame the fact that they didn't score early in game one last year. They had a couple open nets, and they missed them. And I feel like if they just score on those open nets at the beginning of game one of the Winnipeg series last year, it's a totally different series. It's a totally different game. So I don't put the blame on him for that one. You know, he gets pulled in game 5 where they lose 6-2, but then goes out and has an incredible game 6 where he shuts them out. And then I give him a lot of the blame for the game 7 where they score those 2 cheap little goals to start the game. They lost 5-1 again. I don't blame him. I mean, I look back to this and I think to myself, do we blame Pekka less? Because we put a lot of blame on Pekka for the Winnipeg series, and yet Pekka went out there, I thought, played really well last night, and it was the same result. And that makes me think, you know what, maybe we were a little too hard on Pekka at the end of last year.
Well, there may be some of that, but I think, too, you know, and I'm looking back at their side of it, and I mean, I would have to think if I'm playing for Winnipeg, you know, what we've seen with Beck over the last 8 or 10 games, you probably are feeling okay about playing Pekka.
Yeah, but I'm not. But you can feel okay about playing Pekka. But if Pekka goes out there and plays well, you know, he's the best. He's one of the best goalies in the league.
Well, we had out of that, a 7-game series last year. What happened? How many times?
He shut him out in game. I mean, he gave up 1 goal in game 4 and shut him out in game 6. I agree that Pekka got pulled 3 times.
Yeah, he got jumped 3 times.
But
so.
he really only had 2 bad ones. Just 2. Game 5 and game 7 were just 2 stinkers.
I'll say this now. If I'm a player and you force them to pull their starting quarterback, you feel pretty good. I mean, you've done whatever it is your job's supposed to be. So that's all I'm saying.
I have no idea what you mean by that, but that's okay. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Corey is up next here on Jared the GM. What's up, Corey?
Jared, I don't know if you've been listening to callers, but you're starting to get pretty good at this radio stuff.
Get to it, please.
The problem is that the Predators are physical. They're not hockey players. They can walk around or skate around the cart of eggs and they never initiate contact. You've got to clear the front of the net. I mean, there's no excuse for that. They've got to get traffic in front of the net. You can't run a power play where the goalie can see the shot coming. You either have to have movement or you got to block the goalie. And they're not going to win big games and series until they start doing this stuff.
So this is my theory. Thank you for your call. This is my theory that just came up listening to him talk. It's not that they can't beat the physical teams. Because the caller calls in and says they don't look like hockey players. They're one of the best teams in the league. Like, stop being crazy. It's not that they can't beat a physical team, because they can. And it's not that they can't beat a fast team, because they can. But this one team in particular is giving them fits because they are physical and they are fast. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, that very well could be. I mean, again, I don't think at some point in time this all becomes mental.
That Winnipeg walks into your building and beats the crap out of you every time?
Feels good about it.
I mean, it's a 4 out of 5 tries ain't an accident.
Feels good about a lot of things they're doing. Feels good about who they're playing. Feels good about how they're playing. Feels good about, and you look at the history and.
4 out of 5 tries ain't an accident. At some point, this becomes the reality and it's not a fluke anymore. It's not a, if we had just gotten one more game against them, we would have. No way. Let's go to Darren, who's up next on the Preds. What's up, Darren? Darren.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, go.
Good, Jared. I love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm from Manitoba, Canada. I'm a big fan of the Predators. I miss Fisher. You know, he was a big part of the team.
I don't.
But I got to tell you, you guys are overthinking the game. The players in Manitoba, they're developed to be fast and physical. You guys could do that with the team that you have. It just needs to come through from the coaching and management. The players that beat you guys last night don't even play for the Jets. They're borrowed from our Manitoba Moose team. Lemieux scores 2 goals. He's only played 4 NHL games.
Okay, I got it. Okay, I don't care. Like, I mean, once you say the, you know, the way we do it in Manitoba, we got to, like, okay, I'm done. Like, I feel fairly confident that the Predators Hall of Fame general manager and that their head coach who's won a Stanley Cup and been to 2 others, I feel very confident that they're up to date in what it takes to build a decent team. It's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
They don't play for them. They're borrowed.
Yeah, they're borrowed from Manitoba.
Manitoba Moose.
I would be so embarrassed if somebody from Milwaukee called into like a Winnipeg radio station. Like, brutal. I got to say this for the callers. We've had some good calls today. We've had some horrible calls today. Callers. Maybe I'm in a bad mood because of the game last night, which is very, very possible. You know what gets me in an even worse mood sometimes, though, when I'm in a bad mood?
No.
Corey Curtis. Corey Curtis from News 2, he will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds game as the Predators, again, lose to the Jets. And I know a lot of people are saying, calm down, Jared. But again, 4 out of 5 when they win 4-1 in Game 1, 6-2 in Game 5, 5-1 in Game 7, 5-1 last night. That ain't an accident, people. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us next. What makes me so happy, though, is thinking about my home and the fact that I entrusted to Hiller for all of my plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs. That's right, the Happy Face truck, my friends at Hiller. And I'm happy about it, not just because they do a great job, but because I know I'm getting a fair deal thanks to true transparency pricing. Look, owning a home comes with a lot of challenges. I've learned that. But Hiller makes things easier. I know it's going to be expensive if I've got any work I have to get done, but luckily for Hiller, they give me the best deal possible thanks again to true transparency pricing, which they have, but the other guys do not. Also, if you're going to have some work done, maybe you have a company you already like, you're going to have your AC unit replaced, or you're going to have some major plumbing work, call Hiller to come out. They will come out for free, and they will give you a second opinion. So at least you get two sets of eyes on it. You get two quotes on it. They'll tell you, hey, this is how much it will cost with Hiller. And I bet you that you'll probably have to think about going to Hiller. Those are my friends at Hiller. Yesterday, the only thing smiling in that arena was the Hiller logo right there on the ice and the Hiller happy cam. And I am happy thanks to my friends at Hiller. We're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale, Inc. and Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday, Jared and Floyd, Jared and the GM. Hey, by the way, who's going to be coming out to hang out with me tomorrow at Frugal McDougal at 701 Division Street in Nashville? This Saturday from 3 to 5, you'll have your chance to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip to see the Preds take on the Blues in St. Louis. That'll be Saturday, February 9th. You must be 21 to enter, so come on out tomorrow. Again, that is Frugal McDougal on Division Street. Come on out and register to win those pair of tickets on the Yeehaw bus trip. And I will be on the bus trip going out to St. Louis, where I expect the Preds to have a much easier time against the Blues because they are much better against the Blues than they are against the Winnipeg Jets. And with that, Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us here on the show. Okay, Corey, I'm worried. Last night's game legitimately worried me because this was the fourth time in six tries that Winnipeg has walked into Bridgestone Arena and absolutely beaten the Preds in that exact same fashion. 4-1 in Game 1, 6-2 in Game 5, 5-1 in Game 7, and 5-1 last night. What is your level of concern overall knowing that you're going to have to play Winnipeg after last night's loss?
Well, I try not to take too much into one game, because it's 1 of 82, and I try not to take too much into January, 17th or 18th, when we've got a long way to go. But when you look at the numbers together, you know, it is concerning. And when you look at last night, where it was 5-1, and Pekka had not made some unbelievable saves, could have been 8 or 9, you know, I think there's some reason for concern. I'm not going to go over the top, but, you know, how many more times do they meet this year? I'd like to see them be better. That's for sure.
What do you make of the fact that in their last 14 meetings, they're 7-7 against each other? Are they really smack dab even, or have the Jets figured something out recently on the Predators?
Look, I mean, that Jets team is talented. There's no question about it. They're talented, and so yeah, I mean, I think they are pretty even, you know, and so I you know, when you go 500 against another really good team, that just says you're both really good. Now, if you were 3-11 against them, then that would be a big concern. I mean, if I told you that they were 500 against the Pittsburgh Penguins, what would that tell you?
You know, I'd be okay with that.
Well, so there you go. The Winnipeg Jets are pretty good. So I'm not upset about being 500 against Winnipeg.
Corey, what did you make of my impression was that for most of the game, particularly second and third periods, there wasn't a lot of juice. You know,
no,
I mean, I didn't think we had it on the ice. I didn't think the atmosphere was what it normally is. I don't know if that was a reflection of the game. What are your thoughts?
Well, when you're talking about the juice in the atmosphere, I mean, Winnipeg controlled the game. It's hard for the crowd to flip it over when the team doesn't reciprocate. You know, you can do the standing O's and you can cheer them on, but if they can't use that to push forward, that doesn't matter. And like I said, it was 5-1, but I mean, there were three or four other chances where you thought they were going to score and they didn't. So they controlled that thing for 60 minutes. There was not a lot of time for the crowd to be excited. And I mean, sometimes you're the windshield and sometimes you're the bug. You know, the New England Patriots came into Nissan Stadium and just got plowed. Does that mean the Titans are better than they are? Does it mean they're 24 points better than they are? It's their day. Last night was Winnipeg's night, no doubt about it.
You know what I was concerned about, we talked about this a little bit earlier, was that it appears to me that Winnipeg is not intimidated whatsoever about playing us in our building.
I would agree with that. And that I would say, you know, there's a lot of teams where they come into Bridgestone and they're like, yep, this is going to be an L. This is a tough place to play. That is not a team. And I think that is a concern, especially when you get into a seven-game set. And even if you've got game seven in your building, they're not going to be afraid to come in there and play. They've heard how loud it is. They've felt the energy. They know the speed of the team. And guess what? They're as fast. They're just bigger. They've got some elite scores. They're not going to be afraid. You know, and they are not a Stanley Cup champion at this point. They haven't been to the Stanley Cup finals, but I don't think that they consider themselves subservient to the Nashville Predators at this point.
There's no doubt about that. Corey Curtis from News 2 is with us. If a seven-game series were to start tomorrow between the Predators and the Jets, let's say Jets have home ice, how would you feel?
I'd flip a coin.
Come down to game seven, huh?
Well, I mean, and yeah, I mean, yeah. I think, you know.
Good news for the Preds would be in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean, they're even teams, you know. They're both really good. And obviously the Preds have got some things to figure out because there's just way too many opportunities for Winnipeg. And the Preds are way too good defensively to be taking advantage of that long. And then the other thing we haven't talked about is just how poor the Preds' power play has been. You know, when you get those opportunities against a good team, you got to pot them because, you know, those chances don't come all the time. And you got to pot at least one of them, and they didn't.
Well, it feels like even in the stadium, when they go on the power play,
it's anxiety.
Oh, the DMX music goes on, and you're like, And I'm like, man, I know what it's like when the Preds' power play's rocking and rolling, and you go on a power play, and you're like, all right, here's where they get back in the game right here. And it does not feel that way right now sitting in the stands there. Corey Curtis from News 2 is with us. I won't have you waste your hot take on this. Your thoughts on the two championship games this weekend in the NFL?
You know, it's funny. Everybody who asks me that, I say the same thing. The four best teams are there. I think that's the most important thing. If you looked at, like, the whole season, you know, I drew power rankings and everything up and down, whatever. The four best teams from this season have made it to where they're supposed to be. I think that's the exciting thing for NFL fans. So then I try to tell myself or ask myself, who are the best two? And I think to the whole season, and I think the Chiefs have to be the best team in the AFC all season. You know, from top to bottom, they've been the best. And then I ask myself, so for the Rams and the Saints, which one of those two teams has been the best? And I say, you know, the Saints probably defensively have been better over the course of the year, but the Rams just have more weapons on offense. And so I'm going to lean towards the Rams. Since I'm going to say Rams-Chiefs, that means it's going to be Saints-Patriots.
I am way more comfortable in saying that the Saints have been the better team all year in the NFC than the Chiefs have been the better team in the AFC, maybe because the Patriots beat the Chiefs, but I know what you mean. Okay, it is Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis from News 2, what's your hot take of the week?
You know what? It's the last really big weekend of football of the year. Well, not of this of this season. And I think we just need to sit back and appreciate it. We have two phenomenal games. Should be two phenomenal games. But I get a little bit sad. I get a little bit sentimental this time of the year because I know it's all coming to an end.
See, I guess I disagree, me personally, because it's this time of the year on a Saturday when I can do something at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm like, man, I'm not stuck having to watch all day football here on a Saturday. But then about, you know, maybe a week or two after that, then I get sad.
You know, you might know what's sad. This tells you about me. I'm already getting excited about free agency.
Trust me, I'm with you.
Plus, it's 2 months away. Za'Darius Smith doesn't have a contract. I mean, come on. What's happening here?
Hey, Dean P's connection right there. Corey Curtis.
272 pounds of setting the edge and then getting after the quarterback. He is 1A on my board.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, we will talk to you next week as free agency approaches.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Enjoy. Thanks, Corey.
Corey Curtis, News 2, here on the show. You know, I really don't get as depressed about the end of the season. I get depressed about the end of the Titans season because, you know, if you beat the Colts, and I do, you know, there's the Jared Stillman that grew up a fan, and then there's the Jared Stillman on the radio, and the radio me looks at the difference in a week of no Titans playoffs and where we're talking about, you know, next season and this season, or we're talking about, okay, what do they have to do to stop Gronk? And it's more fun on the radio to do the, what do they have to do to stop Gronk this week? And so I enjoy that. But I've always thought the way that this show is done, and other shows do things differently, and I can't, you know, I don't do other shows. I just feel like I have a vibe on what you, the Nashville sports fan, cares about. To me, it feels like there's two seasons. There's the Titans season, and then when the Titans season is over, we go to the Preds season. And then when the Preds season is over, we have a little bit of a break, and then we go to the Titans season. And so right now is kind of the transition from Titans season to Preds season. And I'm okay with that. But then when Preds season is over and it's June, I'm kind of sad.
It's tough then.
Then I'm like, okay, I'm going to Cabo. Floyd's going to Turks. Yeah. We will see you guys in a little bit. You know, but then we go to SEC Media Days, and we, you know, shake up everything there with the Jeremy Pruitt stuff like we did last year. And then the Titans are open up training camp. We're right back to business. So, but it does get a little sad. Breaking news. Ryan Johansson suspended 2 games for the high sticking on Mark Scheifele last night. I was at the game with Luke Rogers last night. Luke at first did not even think it was a penalty. Then when you see, you know, basically the shaft of the stick go into Shifley's face, you get it. I was stunned that wasn't a double minor. I was stunned that it was just 2 minutes for a high stick, but 2 games? I mean, I'm not here to sit there and say that that's a little ridiculous, but I feel like the NHL needs to be in the business of punishing things that are clearly intentional, and I just didn't feel last night like that was intentional.
Yeah, I didn't. The first time I saw it, I didn't think it was intentional. The more I saw it, the more I started thinking there was a little animosity behind that stick.
So you're okay with the 2 games for Johansson?
Oh, I have no idea what their penalties are. I don't know how they figure that out.
I'm just saying, I've seen Ryan Hartman do a whole lot worse and not get in trouble. So, I mean, if Johansson's going to get 2 games for that, let's take more of your phone. 615-737-1025. I just asked Corey Curtis this question, but if the Preds and Jets are matched up in a game 7 or in a best of 7 series starting tomorrow, how would you feel? And your answer to this will tell me more about you than it will the Preds. I'll explain. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Hey, every Friday, like today at 5:45, we'll select our picks on the big games in both college and pro football, though college football's over. Six-pack picks brought to you by Porvoo. Floyd is in deep trouble in terms of six-pack picks. Ian, what is the record on six-pack picks this season?
I am not up to date on this week's current standings yet.
Well, I just know that I, you know, had a decent week or an okay week last week. Floyd is way far behind. I can't even see him in my rearview mirror. He is a dot to me in the rearview mirror. He's so far away. That's how well I've been killing it in six-pack picks. You were wise to not make that bet that I was trying to get you to bet at the beginning of the year because I knew. I had a good feeling about this season.
You are so full of crap.
Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Unbelievable. Ryan said that these two teams are fairly similar just in the way they're made up and the way that you both like to attack the game. Is there anything specific that the Jets do that maybe gives this team more trouble?
Well, I think they're just a really good team. They're really balanced throughout the lineup. They have a lot of weapons up front. All their lines can score. Both teams are pretty complete, and yeah, they play a complete game. They play hard. They can play skilled. They can play fast. So it's a tough team to play against.
Oh, it is a tough team, Roman. Roman Josi, it is a tough team to play against, and that's why I worry about the Winnipeg Jets in the inevitable second round matchup that you will have in 3 months against the Winnipeg Jets. Is it really 3 months, or is it? Yeah. Well, more like 4, because I think it would be around, you know, May 1st would be about the second round. So really more like 4 months. But it's inevitable. You will play them in 4 months in the second round. And as I said at the top of the show, 4-1 in Game 1, 6-2 in Game 5, 5-1 in Game 7, and 5-1 last night, all at Bridgestone Arena, all at capacity crowds, all not an accident. So I asked Corey Curtis this question, and it was, if the Preds and Jets started a seven-game series starting tomorrow or starting, you know, next Thursday, they were to start a best of seven, how would you feel going into the best of seven? Would you be energized? Would you feel down like, oh, no, you know, how do you beat the big bad Jets? Or would you feel confident like, you know what, they proved that they can play with them. You know, in their last 14 games, they're 7-7. So they've proven that they can play with the Jets. And would you be confident about it? So, Floyd, I start with you. Would you be confident about a series against the Jets? Or would you be, you know, like me, I'm very not excited about that opportunity?
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't. You're not going to have a choice. So, I mean, I think you would have to go in and you would have to be confident. I mean, you know this. You know it's, in theory, it's going to come down to game seven. So, you know.
I don't know that, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. So you're going to uphold your part of the deal. They're going to uphold their part of the deal. We'll get game seven and see what the heck happens. I don't think that would be a shock to anybody on either team. I mean, I think anything short of that might be a shock, you know. But I don't – these games are just – I mean, these two teams have been even for the last little bit and we'll continue. I mean, we'll go up there, and then whenever we play them next, and I don't know when that is, but whenever we go up there again, we'll beat them 5-1, and they'll be crying in their beer the way we are.
They better. I mean, the Predators, to me, they have got to go up there and win. They've got to prove to themselves that they can beat this team, because last night was just a backbreaker like it was in all of those playoff games. I mean, I remember we were giving away tickets for game five on a Friday. It was a Fireball Hot Take Friday, just like today, although it was a little bit warmer outside. And it was a Fireball Hot Take Friday, and we were on location, and they had just won 2-1 in game four to even the series at 2, coming back here with 3 to play. And you said, the winner of game five will win the series. And I think everybody felt that way, and they get out there to start the game, and the Preds had a lot of energy, but they couldn't score, but then Winnipeg just kicked them square in the fanny, just crushed them, 6-2. And that, to me, when I can look back on it now, knowing what I know, that to me tells me, hey, the Winnipeg Jets, man, when they want to turn it up a notch, they can. And when they do, you're as helpless as you were in the second period of game three last year. And that's what scares me.
And there may be something to that. Although, again, I mean, the part that
all the pivotal games last year, they won.
Yeah, all but the part that was a concern about last night is that a bunch of those guys didn't do that. You know, the star players I'm talking about. And I keep thinking to myself, now what is that? You know, what is it that they can, you know, go out there and score with their down the line guys and score that often, and what appeared to be that easy.
To argue that this point, in the games you lost last year to Winnipeg, their goal scorers, Brandon Tanev, Paul Stastny, Mark Scheifele, Paul Stastny, Bufflin, Trouba, Tanev, Wheeler had a couple, Stastny, Kyle Connor, Bufflin, Scheifele, Perreault, Tyler Myers, Stastny, Scheifele. So there's a lot of Stastny and Scheifele in there. There's a lot of, like, Tanev and Perreault and Tyler Myers. And there was a lot of just random guys that scored for them even in the playoffs last year. And maybe that's just what the Jets do. Maybe the Jets just go where you're weakest and any of their four lines can score. And maybe that's a whole nother can of worms to open about, look at that team.
No, we don't want to go there.
Brian Little and Brandon Tanev and...
We had enough problems today.
Lemieux and the guys last night, I mean, that's... Trouba, they're scoring all up and down the lineup. The problem is the Predators should be doing that. That should be the Predators who it's like, gosh, you keep Arvidsson and Forsberg off the board, but Sissons and Yarncroke beat you. That should be – that's the Preds. That's what the Preds should do. And I feel like, you know, who scored last night? Arvidsson. You know, and even the defensemen, it used to be Subban or Ekholm or Ellis or Yossi. Now it just kind of feels like if Ekholm doesn't do it offensively, the defense is they're not doing it. That is a concern too. But let's go to your phones on the Preds and the Jets. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to Scott, who's up next here on the Preds and Jets. What's up, Scott?
Hey, man. Just riding home, enjoying y'all's show as usual.
Thank you.
I'm kind of with everybody else. It's a toss-up. It's going to depend on this Jets Fred series as to which team shows up. Because my personal thinking is the defensive play coming both from offensive players and defensive players was really lacking last night. And I wondered that in the playoff situation, if the Sykes involved with this wouldn't be a little different. Because they just came off a big win against the Caps. They may be saying, oh, we could take it a little easier now. You know, we've proved ourselves. And, buddy, I don't think they stepped it up last night at all. I mean, they were behind players a step or two. Those fast, thick players were able to make plays on our net, the backside scoring. I mean, Pekka's playing his butt off. It's not the goalie's problem. He may be – he's. I think they're relaxing a little bit when he's in net when they really don't need to be. So I think more of our problem is on our defensive side. Change the pairings up, figure out where those are, and maybe you don't play the third and fourth lines. The fourth line last night, I think, was
You can't do that. Scott, I appreciate your call. You can't not play your third pair. Like, I'm all for not playing a third pair, but you literally can't do that. I mean, they're going to have to play. And he is trying to change it up. He's got Josi with Subban, and he's got Ekholm with Ellis, which I particularly don't like, but I'm not here to complain about it. Like, he's doing that. He is – the things you want him to do, he's doing. The idea of them being too elated after their win over Washington the other night, I don't agree with, but I would argue this point, and that is – wasn't that kind of the problem in the playoffs last year? Was every time you got a win and you got momentum and you felt like, okay, tied the series at two, survived the disaster that was Game 3 in Winnipeg, and you beat them. Pekka was great in Game 4. Time to take it back in Game 5 and then go to Winnipeg and seal the deal in Game 6. And you lose 6-2 at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't that the problem with the Jets? Is when you felt like you were starting to gain a little momentum, the Jets come right back in, and they just put it right to you. That's the whole problem with what we've seen out of these two teams. Again, I know I sound like negative Nancy over here, but I'm just talking about what I'm seeing when I watch these two teams play. The Winnipeg Jets are a special team, and it's going to take a special effort to be able to beat them. Let's get back to the phones next on all of this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. The next matchup between these two teams will be in Winnipeg on March 1st. So they do not play the Jets at all for a month and a half. So who knows what the standings are going to look like at that point, but that will be after the trading deadline. So you do not get another crack at the Jets until after the trade deadline, and then you play them one more time towards the end of the season, March 23rd at Winnipeg. And who's to say that won't be a game where both sides are kind of playing close to the vest, knowing that they're going to face each other again. So you're done playing them at home. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We're right back to your phones next. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday, and it's Jared and his best friend, the GM, on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tenev goes behind the Nashville goal, cycles it back over for Matthew Perreault on the right board. To the blue line, Nico, and a shot and a score! Tenev was in front. Plenty of traffic in front of Rene there. And at 1:54, the third period, the Jets' lead is extended to 4-1.
Most of their chances and goals came from directly in front of the blue paint in the slot there. What broke down for you defensively that let them kind of get free there?
Again, I can't paint it with one brush or something different on a bunch of them, you know, whether it be a rebound or, you know, there's different things that went on with each goal. But I'm not disagreeing with you. We needed to do it, but we gave up a little bit too much. But the bigger story for me is the quality chances on the other end as well. You know, that game's hanging around at a low-scoring game, and you know, you have opportunities in the first period. We're not getting to where we need to be. Same thing in the second period. They blocked a lot of shots. You got to give them credit. A lot of times things can explode. When you do put pucks at the net and they hit the net, they can explode in there. They didn't. They got blocked. They got moved off to the side, and we weren't able to generate any more from there.
I like how Peter had to remind himself to go back to them. You do have to give them credit now, but Laviolette seems more upset with how his team played than he is with wanting to credit the Jets.
Oh, he wasn't a happy man. Well, we've probably heard him more miserable than that, though, but I think he was not a happy man.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. Ryan Johansson suspended 2 games for his high stick on Mark Scheifele last night, and apparently He'll have to forfeit $86,000 as part of the two games being missed.
Stuff gets expensive.
I'd like $86,000. Now, the funny part is, today I asked Floyd if he would take a job for $900,000, and Floyd sat there and we were kind of talking about it, and I'm like, you know what? $900,000 to Ryan Johansson? Like, what's $900,000 to Ryan Johansson? He's making $8 million a year for the next 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. That's crazy.
Pretty good shape, yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, let's go right back to your phones, as promised, here on the show on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Tyron is in Brentwood, and he's up next. Go ahead, Tyron.
Well, guys, good to be with you again, and I'm just going to cut right to it. And I really want to talk to the Predators fans in the city of Nashville, because you can.
Well, hey, Tyron, you know you came to the right place to do that.
Yeah, and you can try to put a Band-Aid over this scar. You can put some peroxide, whatever you think you need to do to prolong your agony or to convince yourself, well, it's January and there's a lot of hockey, and I was 7-7. Winnipeg's better than you guys. Let's just call it what it is. Winnipeg is a better hockey team. Every pivotal game, in the moment of truth, they attack you, they put their foot on their throat, and they stomp you and they choke you out. And that was my takeaway from last night. So as all the Predators fans tested it, Bridgestone Arena last night, it may as well fast forward this to early May. You'll be doing it again against the Winnipeg Jets, because as you're constructed, you can't beat Winnipeg. You know, you may get a game here or there, but when they decide that, hey, we got to win this game, this is a series-turning game, this is a pivotal game, when they focus and they bring the tenacity and the fire, it's not even close. As you so well alluded, Jared, there's a reason they've blown you out in Bridgestone Arena for the last five games and it hadn't been close. And that's my takeaway from last night, Nashville. And if I'm the general manager, I got to ask myself, you know what, as we're constructed, where are we going? Do we want to be a second-round playoff team and get beat to Winnipeg, or do we want to go for it? Because I'm going to say after last night, you got to do something. You're not beating Winnipeg as you're constructed. End of story. So if you want to get past that hurdle, you're going to have to do something, because the way you're going now, it'll be over in five or six games. If it does get to seven, it won't matter. Winnipeg is just a better hockey team in Nashville. You just got to set that and quit with all this hokey-pokey nonsense about excuses and all this and that. They're better than you. It's clear. They're better.
Tyron and Brentwood, thank you for your call, Tyron.
Tyron.
You know what kills me the most about that?
He's right.
I don't disagree. I mean, now, I think it is legitimate to debate whether or not the Predators, as constructed, can beat the Jets, because I think they probably could. But the one thing that he said in that call that I agree with is when he said, every pivotal moment, in the moment of truth, Winnipeg goes and kicks you right in the teeth. And he's right. Every pivotal moment in that series last year, Winnipeg put their foot right on your throat and stomped. And that's the part that I have a hard time getting over, is that those pivotal moments. Game five, you know, even game three, you know, you salvage the series at home by winning in overtime to make it 1-1. You go there, you're up 3-0, thanks in large part to Hartman and Fisher, and you're up 3-0, and they come back in the span of what 5 minutes, when Winnipeg went bang, 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 bang in that game in game four or game three. Like, they just bang, bang, bang right there. Every time. Every time you play these guys, they do that to you. So something has to change. And I don't know what the answer to that is, you know, with one way or another. Let's go to Nate, who's up next. What's up, Nate?
Hey, guys. Jared, I don't remember what you said before the game yesterday. Were you looking to trade or not?
I don't want to trade.
How do you feel today? And how do you feel – or not how do you feel – I feel like you're flip-flopping from yesterday, because yesterday you said that the matchup would be in the first round, in the second.
It is impossible for that matchup to be in the first round. That matchup has to be in the second round.
Okay, well, how do you feel about trading now that we've lost pretty bad to the Jets?
Okay, so that's going to be a topic that comes up a lot, and it is a topic that is coming up on this show. Thank you for your call at 4 o'clock. I will say this. The we need a trade crowd got real loud last night. Oh, did they get loud last night?
That's not the question. Are you part of the we need a trade crowd? That was the question.
You have the sheet in front of you.
It's yes or no.
We will discuss that at 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
But I feel I'll tell you how I feel at 4 o'clock. Like, I'm trying to do this without making the people in their cars that are in their cars now think, just tell me, Stillman. And I'm trying to do this without kind of screwing up, you know, what the 4 o'clock topic is going to be. But I'll say this. The two crowds last night, the We Need a Trade crowd and the Kevin Fiala Stinks crowd last night, boy, did they get a good game to boost their, you know, cause. It's like a political rally. It's like, we told you we needed a trade, and we will get a trade if we vote for Proposition 17. That's the way that it kind of felt like last night. Now, how do I feel? I don't know. How David Poile feels, I think, is another thing. And David Poile had an interesting thing that he said about trading on Darren and Donna Gersh that we will also go ahead and get to.
Yesterday, pre or post game?
Pre, but it involved the game, and I think it's very interesting what he said. Let's go to Matt, who's up next here on Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Have you ever asked Floyd about Russ Thomas?
Russ Thomas,
wow.
Oh, my God.
You got a year in old Detroiter, obviously.
He could tell you. anyway, let's get back to the Predators. They've been losing and going up and down like the stock market because we brainwashed them from last year saying you can't be in first place to win.
I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Oh, yeah. And the second thing would be, of course, Turris and Tolvanen for Kevin Hayes and Cody McLeod.
Well, I mean, that's a ridiculous trade, and I appreciate your call. But I would say this. Turris needs to pay what he owes because he has done nothing for this franchise since they traded him. And I, right now, after watching enough Dan Hamhuis, would like Sam Girard back, and I'd like him on the third pair. So, that being said, when Turris comes back, and I expect him to play in the series against Winnipeg in the second round, he needs to pay what he owes. More of your phones, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Floyd, guess what we're going to talk about?
What's that?
Did last night prove that in order to beat the Jets, the Predators need to make a trade? We will discuss. So I hope that caller's still listening. It's Jared and the GM right here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Games like last night make you enjoy ice-cold Fireball Sin Whiskey even more. It never lets you down, and it tastes so great and goes down so smooth. That's why this weekend I have a big birthday party I'm going to. Happy birthday, Haley. And there's nothing that's going to celebrate better than ice-cold Fireball Sin Whiskey. Fireball tastes so good, and it goes down so smooth. It is Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.